Welcome back to another episode of In the Heyday. I am your host, Oliver Hayes, and I'm here at the CU Event Center to give my instant thoughts and reactions to the Colorado Buffaloes 87-61 over the TCU Horned Frogs, which put the Buffs back in the win column, improving them to 13-9 on the year, 3-6 in Big 12 play, and now built some momentum entering the month of February, as it is February 1st, and they have some favorable matchups coming up with Baylor on Wednesday, which is a road game, but then Arizona State at home. Here at the Event Center right after. So some favorable matchups for the Buffs coming up, starting with this TCU game, and handling it the way they did with the 26-point victory is exactly what they wanted to do. Not only to get a win, but to break the losing streak, and to also introduce a new starting five as head coach Tad Boyle started four true freshmen today. Of course, Isaiah Johnson, a true freshman, the Buffs' leading scorer, broke into starting five a few games ago. Barrington Hargris, the only player who has started all year long, he started today, but true freshmen Jalen Holland, Josiah Sanders, and Fawaz Taco Afaola all got their first collegiate starts today. And like I said, it paid off because the Buffs had a huge win. But more specifically beyond the win, just to kind of recap this game, the Buffs, they had the offensive success shooting 55.6% from the field. They shot 11 of 23 from beyond the arc, being very efficient from the three-point line as well. They had very great offense. They had 24 assists to just 8 turnovers, as they were very dominant in this game. More specifically on the defensive side, which greatly fueled the offense, the Buffs held TCU to just 33.3% shooting from the field and 5 of 23 from beyond the arc. TCU also had 10 turnovers, 2 more than what Colorado had, and the Horned Frogs only finished with 8 assists, not really being able to move the ball that well. Their leading scorer was Xavier Edmonds, the big man, who had 13 points, but he was ejected with over 13 minutes to go due to a flagrant 2 foul, and was the only Horned Frog to score in double digits in this contest, which really shows how dominant the Buffs were, not only on both sides of the floor, but specifically that defensive side, as the starting five offered just some more versatility and looks than what CU has been used to throughout this year, having played more double big, three big type of lineups, if you include Sebi as being a big. Whereas this starting five featured just one big, with Taco being in the middle, and then four guards around him. Of course, Jalen Holland and Josiah Sanders, they're wings, they're not as much guards, but even though they're wings, they're not as tall as Sebi, as an example, but both very solid, both very athletic. As happened in the game today, they both grabbed on two separate occasions. They both grabbed an offensive rebound that was like, wow, I can't believe they got that high. I can't believe they came in, went through multiple guys to get that rebound. So they brought the physicality and things like that. And so with those two, Taco in the middle, Isaiah Johnson and Barrington Hargris, though not the tallest, but very speedy on the perimeter, the Buffs were able to fly around the defensive side of the floor. Limit the perimeter, which is part of the reason why TCU was held to just 5 of 23 from beyond the arc, specifically TCU's backcourt of Jaden Pierre and Brock Harding, the 2 6-foot guards that are very talented, two transfers that came in for TCU to help run the offense. Those guys were held to just 4 of 13 shooting from the field, as they had a very tough day. Brock Harding, the team's leading passer, had three turnovers to just 2 assists, so he was limited in that fashion as well. So the Buffs played very fantastic defense on the perimeter and limiting the Horned Frogs. But with the lineup changes that I mentioned, they were able to blitz the post whenever David Punch got the ball against Josiah Sanders, which is something that the other starting five had struggled with just in terms of rotation and things like that. And with Taco being able to match up with Xavier Edmonds, who still led the team in points, like I said, it was very hard on Edmonds going up against a Big 12 type of center that Taco is. That's how I've described Taco since I've seen him play, since the first time that I saw him, since I watched his highlights. Very reminiscent of the Big 12 centers that Colorado struggles against. And so to have Taco be in there and to bang around with Xavier Edmonds, who is the tallest guy on a smaller team in TCU, the Horned Frogs were limited to just 28 points in the paint as well. So, very cold from three, but also not having much success in the paint just because of what the Buffs are able to do, simply because of the guards and wings that were able to fly around and keep the ball off the perimeter and force in the paint, but also then having a matchup in the paint with Edmonds and Afaola that is favorable, and then, also being able to grab offensive rebounds, or defensive rebounds, excuse me. The Buffs still gave up 15 offensive rebounds, 4 more than what they grabbed. You know, so maybe not the best in terms of rebounding the ball, but they still grabbed five more offensive rebounds in a game, which is kind of hard to win the rebounding battle in when you make so many more shots than what your opponent does, which kind of, you know, talks about the offensive rebounding. But I mean, looking at the second chance points, even though they surrendered four more offensive rebounds, Colorado still had eight more second chance points in total, being more effective in the overall glass and more efficient whenever they did gobble up those offensive rebounds. And so overall across the board, the Buffs played well, but specifically defensively and on the glass, the Buffs played really, really well and made sure that there was no aspect that TCU could be strong. And I mean, when head coach Jamie Dixon came in, he took one or two questions, and I mean, he looked as disturbed as I've seen a head coach be after games. And of course, we saw head coach Tab Boyle go 3-17 Big 12 play last year and lose 13 straight contests. And yeah, I'm not sure if he was ever as distraught as Coach Dixon seemed to be after the game today. But I mean, that's the type of performance that TCU was limited to today, given the lack of scoring and the lack of defense that they had, which, you know, translates to their lack of offense and things like that. But, you know, that's a whole other thing. But either way, you know, then just looking offensively beyond the defense and the blitzing and things. Well, I guess before I get to the offense, on defense, along with the blitzing, the Buffs, their ball screen coverage just looked a lot more feasible. Guys were able to rotate a lot faster. I really like, you know, whenever, you know, I like Sebastian Rancic as an on-ball defender, but, you know, he's not as quick as a Jalen Holland or a Josiah Sanders. So when those blitzes were coming, when the ball screen coverage was happening, and, you know, Brock Harding and Jane Pierre were trying to move the ball to some of the other guys, guys like Jalen Holland and Josiah Sanders are able to move around and pick up the perimeter, limiting those three-point shots, limiting the assists, creating turnovers and things like that. And then in turn, that led to the offense as the Buffs, they scored in transition a decent amount. I guess it only says 11 points in the fast break, but 42 points in the paint. It wasn't all in the half court. It was a lot of getting rebounds, turning into outlet passes, and getting the ball up the floor and scoring. And even though Sebastian Rancic and Beattie, you know, were efficient and had good games, they were 13 of 16 combined from the field, as Beattie had 14 and Sebastian Rancic had a team high 17 points. Even though they were efficient, it wasn't like, yeah, I don't know. Even though they were efficient, it was a plethora of guys who were scoring in the paint, is what I was getting at. Because, you know, Taco, he had 6 points. All those came in the paint. Isaiah Johnson, he's great in transition. As usual, he scored in the paint. And even though Jalen Hall and Josiah Sanders, they both knocked down a three each, they score in the paint as well. That's where they got their living. And on top of that, you know, Jalen Holland, he went for 5 points and he had 5 rebounds. Josiah Sanders had 12 points and 3 rebounds. You know, even though they put up those stat lines, they combined for 10 assists, because of how well that they were driving the ball. So when you look at those points in the paint, it's not only, you know, from the big guys, it's not only from the guards who are driving the ball, but you have to look at, you know, how well these guys were able to get into the paint and look for drop-off passes, which led to the points in the paint, but also then looking at the 11 of 23 shooting from the perimeter as multiple guys shot the ball well. I mean, Isaiah Johnson's Sebastian Rancic shot at the best shooting, making 3 threes in the game today, but a lot of those came on kick-out shots. And you look at Isaiah Johnson and Barrington Hargreaves specifically, those guys were getting blitzed, and a lot of the pick and rolls that they were trying to run, specifically Isaiah Johnson, they were able to move the ball well, as Johnson and Hargreaves combined for 9 assists themselves. But you know, like I said, with Josiah and Holland, I mean, they were getting downhill, kicking out, and everybody, even alone McKaylee, who only played a handful of minutes today, only 8 minutes or only 2 minutes, I'm not sure why. Even he as a guy who's known to take a lot of shots, and shoot the ball himself, even he had one more. I'm not sure if he is, I guess. Okay, yeah, he did get an assist because Sebi hit the shot. I wasn't sure if Sebi made it, but even he had one more. He had 2 assists as the Buffs were moving the ball well. And so, you know, like I said, you know, the defense was good. The offense was better because of the defense. But you could see the ball movement as well, as the Buffs had 24 assists to just 8 turnovers. And that was something that, you know, they saw during non-conference play. And Tad chalked it up to the number of weapons that CU has and things like that, how well this team can move the ball, how talented this team can be. But during Big 12 play, those same numbers had not been seen the 20 plus assists have not been seen. Turnovers have been up and down, but specifically those assist numbers have not been seen. And Sebastian Rancic, having talked to him over the last few games, has talked about how the ball has stayed stagnant. A lot of times the ball is sticking, guys maybe trying to do too much either off the bounce or just taking shots. And he said today that with the energy and things, coming from the defensive end and just the young bunch, the guys are able to move the ball, and the offense just, it looked like, you know, in my opinion as well, it looked like it had a lot more flow. When you looked at that starting five, you could see, there was a very good flow. I mean, when you describe flow within an offense or within a basketball game, but specifically within offense, it can, you know, it can, you talk about, you know, the pacing and things like that, and how smooth everything looks. And sometimes the flow can be the ball is in a point guard's hands while other guys are running to play and things like that. What I mean where the Buffs had great flow today is there wasn't a thought for what decision was going to be happen next, if that makes sense. Like, the Buffs were catching, and it was immediately pass, shot, or dribble, drive to the rim, and that created a lot of their varied offense, leading to those assists and the good offensive numbers. And I think that's what Sebi was getting at when he was saying the offense was stagnant. And what I'm getting at when I say that there's more flow is that, you know, there wasn't the plays or something that's having to be set up. There wasn't, you know, anything like that. Just the simple, when they were all playing together, there wasn't a set play. Guys just moving in and out. Just decisions were made quickly. And it wasn't like it was a pass, immediate drive, pass, immediate drive, pass, immediate drive. You know, it's a pass, a drive, a pass, and then a drive, and then a skip pass into a shot. And so there's a variation of rotations that TCU had to make in today's game, which is usually what the Buffs are having to do on the other side, as they've talked about, whether it's Tad Boyle, Sebastian Rancic, Bang Adek, et cetera. The Buffs have talked about throughout the season how the long possessions that other teams have offensively is what gives them issues, having to have multiple efforts in a defensive possession in terms of rotation and picking up new guys is what had hurt the Buffs. And in turn, that's what they thrived with today, forcing TCU into quick offense and then put it back onto TCU, making TCU have to go through a number of rotations and things like that. So I'll have to rewatch this game to see specifically exactly what the Buffs were doing to make this work. I know that defensively they were doubling punch. Tad Boyle had noted that they try to play more straight up with the bigs and things like that. But just looking more specifically offensively, I want to see why the flow looked better. Why it didn't seem as stagnant? Is it simply just a different set of personnel in terms of guys getting the ball and making decisions, or is there different circumstances in which different guys are catching the ball and things like that? I'll have to see. But either way, I don't have too many takeaways from this contest, just because it is just one game of this new starting five and the new rotation and everything of what this looked like. And TCU obviously played very, very poorly. I won't imagine that there would be a game like this for the Buffaloes or any opposing team that they see for the rest of the season. So a grain of salt to take away from this contest. Or I guess the takeaways all come away with a grain of salt. Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to, I'd love to see, why more of this happened. Simply that there was just a personnel switch. I'd love to see, if I can prove, like I talked about earlier, if a guy like Josiah Sanders is quicker on a skip pass than a guy like Sebastian Rancic, I want to see if when Jalen Holland catches the ball, if he's making a decision faster than Bang Adek catching the ball. I want to see if the way that Taco takes up the paint and sets screens, is that similar to the way that Elijah can, therefore is a feasible option in terms of playing and is better defensively and rebounding the ball, since so much of what I talked about last podcast was harping on what Elijah can do and brings this team, even though he's not as productive, and therefore showing the other issues that Colorado has, because if Elijah has to play as many minutes, has to play in games for the Buffs to win, that obviously means that there's some sort of issue if he's not finding that type of production. Very great to see what Taco could do. I just, like I said, I want to see see why these things happen. But you know, as these podcasts usually go, especially these instant thoughts and reactions ones, I'm at the point where I'm just babbling and talking too much. I've pretty much shared what I needed to share so far. So yeah, my name is Oliver Hayes. I appreciate you guys watching another episode of In the Heyday. And I'll catch you guys next time.